We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Eurostep Podcast Network and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Ty Windisch, and I am joined as always by my very funny co-host, Rohan Kadi. Rohan, how's it going?
You're setting me up for failure here, man.
Maybe.
With the guests we have.
I believe in you.
That's a platform to live. I'm not going to compete here.
Maybe not. As Rohan alluded to, we are joined by a very, very funny person at Nonprofit Comic on Twitter, one of the great Twitter ats we've had on the show, Jamel Johnson, host of Airbuds, Sorry We Love Football, and NBA Storytime. We're here to talk Bucks, NBA. It's going to be a different pod, but a fun pod. Jamel, how's it going?
Things are going good. Hey, Rohan, you could be funny too, dog. Look, we can all be funny together, man. I don't have any charts up. I don't know who's supposed to be the funniest.
You know what? I'll take it. I'll try my best. How about that?
This is your opportunity.
This is all the same, dog. I don't know what I'm going to bring. I can put up some bricks right now.
Podcasting is a make or miss league, but the Bucks made enough in the title run. So I want to start there. I mean, we're going to get all over, I think, but I want to start. We have to ask everybody about the Bucks winning a championship because I'm going to guess this is going to be an explicit tag podcast. The Bucks won the fucking NBA championship. We're still not over it. So would love to just hear your thoughts in general on the team that won and the run and the playoffs and everything, Jamel. I know it's a very open-ended question, but just your thought on the Bucks winning the title.
First off, let me apologize for not showing up to this Zoom bucked out. I do have bucked gear, but it's all hoodies. I've got like two Bucks hoodies, a black tee, things I just wouldn't really wear deep in August in LA. So I'll start with that.
That's fair.
That being said, I am the only person that I knew in LA who believed in the Bucks. I got one homie in New York. He's Greek, so he's been in, you know what I'm saying? And it was just us, bro. I knew that this team could do it. I thought they could do it when they had Eric Bledsoe. Shit, I didn't, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know, but so what? Some teams got injured. They went out there and they won it, and it was convincing. And it was dramatic. And everybody thought Giannis was going to be done when he hyperextended the knee, and he came back and averaged 40. And fuck y'all. Not you two, but you know, everybody.
The other. The Bucks doubters, of course. We've expressed that without saying as much.
Literally everyone else. I mean, I've said it a few times.
Yeah, sure. You could still make a case for firing Coach Budenholzer. I don't care. Chip's a chip.
I mean, yeah, we were on that hill at the end of last season. We came around. To be fair, we were on that hill during the postseason run as well when Rick Carlisle was available.
Rick Carlisle was in the arena.
Yeah, I know. I saw some of those Brooklyn games looked insanely dumb.
They did. They did for sure. I had my meltdowns. It was it was rough, but they came out on top.
This man, Rohan, melted down the hardest I've ever seen. After the Bucks' first win in the Nets series, they win game three. Rohan was despondent. That's how you know that this playoff run, we really went through it. Yeah.
But they came out on top here. And Jamel, we've heard, Ty's heard, that you're a big Chris Middleton guy. We have been very pro Chris Middleton podcast for the longest time. He's had his doubters, just like the Bucks in general. But even within the Bucks circle, Chris Middleton has had his doubters, continues to have his doubters. Speak your mind on Chris Middleton.
Chris Middleton is the star you didn't know you needed and you never wanted. Everyone's problem with Chris Middleton is connected to him not being hot, and that is not his fault. All the man ever did was go out there and get goddamn buckets. His clutch field goal percentage is crazy. He's shooting like damn near like around 50%, bro. And I've seen it with my own eyes. He'll go shot for shot with any guard, any wing in the East. He's done it. The West, he's done it. But he's just not that attractive.
I think he's self-conscious of his teeth.
For sure. And I mean, I don't think he's self-conscious. I think America is self-conscious. America is like, fix your teeth or get traded. That is what America has decided. Hey, maybe this Chris Middleton guy should go and be the best guy in the G League. It's like, you can't do that to him.
They wanted to trade him for CJ McCollum. They wanted to trade him for Zach LaVine. I think Derrick Rose at one point. People on Twitter are just out of control.
Which is crazy. I mean, dog, none of those dudes have – I mean, CJ, look, I've seen CJ. CJ had some great games in the bubble. CJ had some real clutch, but that was one time, bro. For years, I have watched Chris Middleton go shot for shot with whoever. What? Why would you want Zach LaVine? This dude, all he does is turn over the ball in the fourth. That's his favorite thing to do.
CJ McCollum plays more defense on Twitter sometimes than he does in the league as well. So.
Yeah, and it's like, LaVine, we already have a dude who can dunk hard. We don't need two dunk hard dudes.
So you said you believed in the Bucks. You believed in Giannis. There was that moment, I think game two, Brooklyn. It was Giannis's worst game of the playoffs. The takes were flying, as always.
I mean, my biggest problem was that he showed up with a polo bear taking a dick pic shirt.
Yeah.
Shirt was my – it's like you came in here with the biggest – okay, I'm swagging dick pics for everybody, and then you look like straight ass, bro.
I forgot about that.
I see the pic every so often because I'm pretty sure I posted it to my IG and just asked people, what do you think about Giannis's shirt? That pic did not get a lot of likes. I don't think that many people got the reference. People on Instagram might think I'm weird. That was we're going to get to some questionable Giannis stuff. We have a whole segment coming up, but that was maybe the rare true swing and miss for Giannis. I think he does a lot of weird stuff. I think I agree and like most of it. That's true. Was a little bit too far. And then following it up with a bad game is I think the shirt might have caused it.
Rough. And I mean, I guess what I want to say is truthfully, I believed in him and Middleton as the combo. I thought it was the perfect, like, unexpected combo because Giannis is your best player, but the guy who's cool with not being the face of the organization is the one who's taking the last shots. It's like, that just felt like a good balance to me, and I'm glad it came through as it should.
I feel like it seems like such a simple, you just look at them together. It seems like it would work. I feel like this obsession with like the best player has to be the guy who takes the clutch shots. He, the Batman, Giannis is the Robin and everything else. There's always some truth in the first take stuff, right? Like Chris is the one who takes a lot of the clutch shots, but that shouldn't be a negative on Giannis. They're different players. And I'm so glad they won a title together because it just shows like some of these like importance we give to some of this stuff is just overrated. Like if everyone goes out and does their job and you're good enough, things are going to go well.
Yeah, and now you can't say that about either of them. Now you can't be like, who? No. And furthermore, Giannis was so good, they didn't even need no damn last shots.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep clutch buckets when you're up so big.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, it's great that they actually won the title together. I think that's Agreed. Just, it's the biggest stamp of approval on this sort of relationship, that sort of partnership between these two players. And it's just a giant fuck you to everyone who just said they couldn't do it, which is just fantastic.
And Drew Holiday really proved that he's like a legit, like, no, he's one of the best. He's a top five point guard. And you could debate however you want to debate it, but he looked like a top five guard to me.
Just a little inconsistent offensively, but the defensive load he carried. Like, that's, you mentioned Bledsoe earlier. Bledsoe, a very good defender, for sure. Like, very important to the Bucks defense while he was in Milwaukee. Drew's defense is different. Like, Drew shuts down. Bledsoe makes shots hard. Drew will, like, take the damn ball away, make you regret dribbling in his vicinity. Like, that, like, I mean, you look at the valley oop against Phoenix when he just takes it from Booker on what would have been a game-winning shot attempt. Like, my God, that guy is built differently on that end.
He's strapped in. And honestly, I mean, he got buckets a couple games where they needed him to. And then
Brooklyn,
there was like
game
a couple.
Seven.
Exactly. He stepped up, and it was time for him to step up, and he fucking
game
did
three
it.
Three Phoenix.
And, yeah.
These are big games, dude. Like, now or never type shit. I don't know what else they want to see from the guy. That's three stars, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought it was a little weird. I mean, I thought when Giannis was like, see, I didn't need to leave a team. Like, no, the team was constantly being changed around you, bro. I don't know. You're kind of missing the fact that the reverse was happening, but cool. I'm glad you're happy.
Yeah.
I mean, technically he was the only All-Star.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The Pacers, the Bulls all had more All-Stars than the Bucks this last year.
Hysterical. All-Star is, yeah, that's exactly. I mean, come on. I don't want Zach LaVine on my championship team. Put him in the All-Star game. Get him away from me.
Yeah. Drew doesn't even have the looks excuse because Drew's just gorgeous.
Yeah, Drew is like model. He's got a model face.
That's the smile. He has Chase Buford, who was on the Bucks bench for the title run, said this, like, what a beautiful smile. And he's not afraid to show it.
Come on, man. It looks like he used to do fucking do shoots for polo back in the day.
I can't confirm or deny that, but I would, if that did happen, I think maybe, actually, hopefully that didn't happen. I mean, we might not have
Hopefully
Drew, the basketball player. Yeah, I guess it could
That's
happen
true. Hopefully it can. It can definitely happen now.
We might have lost him to a modeling career if it had happened earlier. But now I think he's already firmly entrenched in basketball, so we'd be good. So
Yeah, it seems like he's pretty set up.
Yeah, I think so. It's nice big money contract extension kicks in this year. So you're doing NBA story time, and we're going to ask some more questions about that later. But basically this is, as I think people can tell by listening to this so far, very funny podcast going through some odd NBA stories, some different, maybe people have heard, maybe people haven't. I was listening to the Northern Knights episode, certainly had not heard about that before.
Yeah, that was a wild one.
That was. But we've got some candidates we want to pitch you. We're going to take turns from only Buck stuff. So these are weird Buck stories over the years. Rohan, I will let you go first. We have a little bit of a list. I might come up with one off the list. We'll see. But wherever you want to start, Rohan, let's pitch Jamel on the best weird Buck stories for season two of NBA Storytime.
Okay, let's start with the most recent occurrence of this. So there was an investigation open this, like, 2 weeks ago, last week, I don't know when it was, into tampering with the Miami Heat, the Toronto Raptors, the Chicago Bulls, New Orleans Pelicans, about their sign and trades. And everyone was so upset about that because last year, there was the Bogdan Bogdanovich situation where the Bucks did not get Bogdan, and the NBA's investigation found no evidence that the Bucks had tampered. That's what they said. And the Bucks were fined a second round pick and also fined cash, right?
I think. And also the deal didn't happen too.
Yeah,
I
mean, the deal didn't happen.
I don't know if the NBA shut it down, but it got broken up despite finding no evidence. But the Bucks were, I don't know, forthcoming. We don't understand.
But yeah, it was a weird time. I think the NBA's investigation this year is still happening. And guess what? Those players have already, you know, made their deals. They've made their plans. They're in their new cities. Those deals aren't going to get voided. And who knows what's going to happen. But last season was a wild ride. We go from, oh my God, the Bucks traded for Bogdan and Drew in the same night. Ty and I are waking up at 6 a.m. to do an emergency pod. And it's just... It's a wild time, and then the news starts to come out. Okay, maybe this deal isn't set in stone yet. Maybe the numbers haven't been agreed to. Oh my God, he's going to Atlanta. Wait, is this just a bluff? No, he's actually in Atlanta. Oh wait, the Bucks have just lost a pick. It's a wild time.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would love to know how they even, what text did Bogdan receive that set this off? Was it just a meme?
I mean, I've heard rumblings that he was looking for housing in Milwaukee. That's all I'll say.
And that's it. Yo, the NBA's just got to be like, everyone's allowed to collude, man. Who cares?
Yeah, because everyone else is. I just think the Bucks are not.
Yeah, and why? It's like, what's the point of being a professional if you can't collude? I thought I wasn't allowed to collude in college. Why am I, what the fuck?
And this was after the Bucks, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, got fined for tampering with Giannis, who was on their team.
That's a good one too.
For saying that they would offer him a contract extension.
Just a reminder that the NBA does not give a shit about small market teams. If you're not New York or LA or Miami, if you're not like the legacy, which includes Boston and Philly, we don't care. Give us more money. No, you can't have anyone.
Out of five, what do you think about the tampering pitch, Jamel?
I would need to see exactly what set off the tampering alarm, but I'm gonna give that a solid 3 and some change. Pretty okay. good.
Apparently. Pretty good. There's been reporting that one of the Bucks owners was bragging about the deal at a ownership, like a board of governors meeting, and that's why it got kiboshed. So it's kind of a mess. Yeah.
Like messy billionaires.
Yeah.
That might bump it up. That's bumping it up.
I've got one for you. This one is short and sweet, but there is pictures, which it doesn't maybe help a podcast, but you never know. The year is 2015. Four members of the Milwaukee Bucks head to a strip club right before getting trounced by a very bad Lakers team. The four Bucks who go to the strip club, OJ Mayo, Greg Monroe, at this point, okay, sure. Chris Middleton, kind of funny. Chris Middleton, a pretty quiet guy. The last Buck, Miles Plumlee. And there is a hilarious video of him nodding his head, just looking like he's having the time of his life with his teammates at this random strip. I don't know what strip club it was. This was like a very rare TMZ Buck story. We didn't get a lot of that back then. But Monroe ended up missing the game that he hurt his knee. They say at practice.
Did he hurt his knee at the strip club?
We don't know that. They say at practice.
Yeah. It's just like OJ fell down the stairs and was out the rest of the year that one year.
Yeah, so. Something else happened with that too. That could be its own thing. But yeah, we have a TMZ headline, Milwaukee Bucks. That's in sort of big letters. Then huge letters, partying at strip club. And then in between the other two letter sizes, morning of Lakers loss.
All right. That ain't bad. I mean, that Lakers team, I understand why you would stay out late. I understand. This once again, I mean.
There's not enough exposition, I think.
Yeah, but not the assumption that Chris Middleton isn't into ass. This is all because he's not hot. Everybody just thinks he what? Sits at home and reads the Bible.
He has a lot of old tweets about watching movies on the road. That's all I'll say.
You can like movies and ass. You absolutely can like both.
Ty, are they mutually exclusive?
No.
Because a lot of times
I didn't mean to.
It's
I didn't
ass
mean to
in movies.
That's It's very true.
Human ass is in every movie.
Not wrong.
You can't argue with facts. One through five, Bucks at the strip club.
I'm going to give this a 2.5.
Yeah.
It's got some legs. I mean, OJ Mayo is very, there's stuff to work with. We got to do a little mine. We got to do some data mining, but there's some stuff there.
I think we need one of the four to speak on the night. Yeah. I think we could get, if we got a good story from one of them, I think it rises up. A quote
from Mason Plumlee takes us over the top.
It was Miles, but I think it'd be even better if Mason gave was the there, quote, yeah. quote on Miles, or just he weighed in on it. Yeah, Miles told me about that. He told me the whole story. It's a legend in the Plumlee household.
That ain't bad.
what's another one? So we got to, this was revealed from our friend Miran Fader's book on Giannis, which is incredible. Everyone should go check that out.
Of course.
So there was a detail about Thon Maker in that story, in one of the excerpts that was released. I have a personal story on Thon Maker that I cannot disclose, that I just remembered. Thon Maker
was you and Thon Maker.
Not me personally. Yes. Not me personally. Oh, I know something that happened.
You fist fought Thon Maker.
I did. I think I would lose that fight pretty handily.
He's a kung fu fighter. We've seen it happen.
Yeah, we've seen what those leg kicks in the Team Australia games. It's just, it's incredible. But Thon Maker was he was responsible for the team having to serve a punishment because he ruined the team's group chat because he had an Android. Everyone else had iPhones, and the coach at the time was very, very upset that it was not all blue messages. But we got because we have an Android boy in the house, Thon Maker.
That's not bad. Hold on. That's him getting cut because he has an Android. I like it. This might be upwards of a four for me.
Well, they had to run sprints, but he is unhappy, and he asks out like within a year of that or so, within a year or two of that, and he ends up getting traded.
He requests a trade.
Yeah, so he does. He does end up. We don't know.
It sounds like yo, Motorola needs to fucking pay this man.
It'll be like one of five people that know that Motorola still makes phones.
Yeah, man. Everybody go get a razor. Go get you a fold out razor.
If you want to make a team run sprints because of you.
Sure. Where is Thon these days?
Good question.
He's somewhere in the league, I don't think. He's somewhere.
At the house, cooling. All right.
Yeah. His cousin is in Summer League. Or was in Summer League.
Yeah.
Is Summer League still going on?
I think it's wrapping up shortly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that shows how much I'm watching Summer League. But yeah, that was a fun little anecdote that just came out recently. You're giving it a four or above. We'll take that. That's the best one so far.
Yeah, I like that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Bucks were pretty bad in their first season of existence. Not terrible, but pretty bad. I want to say they won around 30 games, which isn't great, but again, not terrible. But they end up with the number one pick that year because the NBA had this weird rule. Really, it makes zero sense. But back then, I think this was 1970 or 1969 maybe, it was the worst two teams in each conference, and they just flipped a coin, and whoever calls it, like whoever wins the coin flip, gets the first pick. Doesn't matter what the records are, just the worst team in each conference. The two teams met in the finals 52 or so years later, the Suns and Bucks. But the Suns got to call the coin flip. They ran a poll in the newspaper. People in Phoenix, idiots, majority voted heads. So the Suns went with heads. Of course it was tails. Tails never fails. The Bucks get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The owners celebrate so much. I think one of them burns the other one's ear or his own ear with a cigarette. Because, of course, they were on the conference call smoking cigarettes back in this time.
Oh, bro, it was Mad Men.
Mad Men. I was just going to say it was Mad Men stuff.
They were fucked up. Just imagine a boardroom of dudes who each have had a bottle of gin.
And like 50 straight cigarettes.
Yeah. Whew.
But that's why the Bucks had their first title 50 years ago now, is they weren't even that bad, but a random coin flip because for some reason Phoenix went with heads over tails, and then someone got burned on a cigarette also that day. But what do you think? I don't know. I don't know if it's funny enough, but it is pretty weird.
Nah, it's weird. It's definitely the weirdest, and it led directly to a title. Yeah. I'm gonna give that a 4.8.
Wow.
On the story meter.
Looking for this one season 2. Can't wait.
Any reason to get a Oscar Robinson line in there, get our Lou Alcindor shit off.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good audio coming from this.
Yeah, I mean, you could get Neil Walk. I don't know if you guys know who that is, but that was the guy that Phoenix took.
Yeah, so 13 point per game player, I think. Something like that.
Which isn't bad, but
it's not bad, but it's that or Kareem.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Even Lucius Allen was third.
Oh, future Buck.
Yeah. It's a wild time. Coin flip title. And if you win the coin flip, you get the title. If you lose, basketball purgatory for a little bit here.
Everything that happened in the NBA before they got the real TV deals going in the 80s and 90s is straight up insanity. I mean, you got dudes driving taxis, playing accordion, everybody's
coaches.
Yeah, player coaches. People are doing fucking blow on the bench.
Yeah.
That's a crazy time.
Yeah, I think
that actually happened.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's ABA, goodness. But still, that's the ABA. Actually, no. I think everything that I referenced was the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics had a dude who was riding a taxi. He was like just decided to do that for a couple days. And then they had a dude in the 50s who he had to work out a deal with the team. So they let him play accordion at halftime and they like paid him extra money to play accordion. And I believe Marvin Barnes, who was playing in the ABA for the Spirit of St. Louis, which is the most insane, like imagine the Portland Jailbreakers on acid, like straight up, like they're just out of control. He was like the craziest dude on that team. I think he ends up on the Celtics in the league and they caught him doing a bump.
Oh my God.
They got him getting his shit off on the bench, bro. It's crazy.
Imagine the official who had to give somebody a tech for just hitting a quick line. Like, that must have been – that's a story you got to tell to every ref you've ever met.
Is that a flagrant too?
I don't know.
It was Dave Cowens, who was the taxi driver, and it was Tony Lavelli who played the accordion.
Yes, yes.
Tony Lavelli is an accordion player name.
Both of those are NBA Storytime Season 1's coming up.
Oh, nice.
Ooh.
There we go, a little teaser.
Okay, where do I go for this next story? Okay, I'll go with this one. I'll go with another... Now, this was a few years back. Let's go back to Valentine's Day 2018. So, it's a fun, you know, it's a holiday. Giannis is he's a big kid. We all know this at this point. He's obviously matured in the last couple of years, but he's a teddy bear. So he's not really like the most like act mature sort of person. He's more childish than that. He's not like doing anything stupid or anything, but he's more childish in that regard. So Valentine's Day 2018, a lot of people have notifications on for Giannis on Instagram, and they get a notification that he is going live because he has just received a gift from his girlfriend, which he had to go show off on Instagram. And this gift he received was a bell. It was a bell that said ring for blowjob on it, that he is just absolutely showing off on Instagram. He's just loving it. He's living it up. He's like, he's ringing the bell, I think, at some point. And then you just hear his girlfriend in the background saying, Giannis, stop. There's kids watching this. What are you doing? There's just a lot of like, why are you doing this sort of thing? I don't
know. Why'd you give me the bell? Hold on. Let's start there. Now you're mad because you gave me the bell?
But it's just, it's a whole show. It's a whole song and dance. This is coupled with... Giannis, I don't know if this was before or after, but again, on Instagram Live with his girlfriend, he was doing a Q&A. Someone asked him, do you play Fortnite, when Fortnite was massive? He said, no, I don't play Fortnite. I just foreplay at night. And then his girlfriend just looks at him with the stinkiest eye of all time.
The public finding out Giannis is horny is like one of my favorite all-time things to have happen.
It's one of the best things about the man. He's just goofily horny.
I think before this year, like in the bubble, he was like sitting by himself when he was talking to reporters and just goes, I'm weird and I'm lonely. And I said, that's not the most relatable person. I mean, most of Giannis is not relatable, but some of Giannis is very relatable.
For sure. I mean, the dick pic bear, come on, man. I get it, man. But, you know... You got to play well, unfortunately. We have the public has to put that pressure on you, bro. That shit is real funny because me and the buds, we all got into a fight. So we had Mirren Fader on the show and like to promote the book. And we're in the group chat like, all right, can we talk about Giannis being horny? Is it unprofessional? Are we going to upset this real professional author? And then, you know, somebody's like, no, you can't mention it. I'm like, but we're journalists. This is journalism. All we want to know is when he started being horny. I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to surmise any. I don't want to draw any other conclusions about his horniness. Just tell me day one of when he was horny. Long story short, we did not ask. We did not ask, but it was a very long argument.
The public still needs to know, apparently.
We haven't had one of those moments in a little bit now, have we? It's been a couple of years.
Well, the bear was a couple months ago. Yeah.
The bear was sort of a moment, but you know, it's like different because when he says it, it's funnier because he's got that accent. I'm a freak.
I'm a freak on the court and a freak in the sheets. Yeah.
Dude, so it's like I remember watching him go live after the chip being in line at Chick-fil-A, and I'm like, he's gonna do it, he's gonna be horny, give it to us. And he
just wholesome. It's just
he's just eating chicken nuggets. It's like, all right, dude, I got you.
So what rating we're given the Giannis, just the horny Giannis experience?
My interest level is a 5.
Yeah. I like that he's still wholesome too at the same time. I like that he can blend them. There's still some wholesome moments since Giannis started with the bell and everything, but he's a multifaceted human being.
He's just like any other person, just an onion with layers.
Exactly. Exactly. Just a very big onion.
Yeah.
Who can call it an artichoke.
You know, no dribble, like one step inside the free throw line. Like a Vidalia onion.
Vidalia. All right, here's one. I got another Kareem one. Kareem played 20 seasons. Kareem made 19 All-Star teams. Do you know why he didn't make 20 All-Star teams?
Is it because he like dodged the draft?
No. Not him. It was because of the guy the Bucks picked first in the 1977 NBA draft. The Bucks picked Kent Benson first. They picked Marcus Johnson third that draft. It was actually
shouts out.
Yeah, shouts out to Marcus, father of Josiah Johnson, who all the kids know Josiah more now. But Marcus
which
Johnson,
which is insane. That was just like, wait, we're not, like Marcus Johnson is all pro, and he was in an Oscar winning movie.
Yep. The first MJ. He'll tell you this. The photo of Michael Jordan's dorm room, the Marcus Johnson poster, super cool.
Come on,
Marcus, come on the show, please. But they took Marcus third. They should have just taken Marcus, not trade. I think they traded Sven Nader to get the third pick or the first pick. If they kept Marcus and Sven, they would have had a much better team. But that's not the story. The story is why Kareem did not make All-Star every year of his career. They take Kent Benson first, a big man from Indiana. This is back in the days when you just always felt like you needed a franchise big man.
For sure.
Kent Benson.
Like today.
Sort of. Giannis might have brought that back. But Benson, not very good, but aggressive. Before his first game, he said, I'm going to try and push and shove, but how much I can get by with, I don't know. Talking about defending Kareem. He was very aggressively defending Kareem. And in the first game of the season, Lakers v. Bucks, Benson was so annoying. Kareem starts to jog up the court and then sucker punches him in the mouth, breaking his hand on Kent Benson's mouth, missing about 20 games, which is the most he had missed since, I think he had an eye injury in 74-75, but he still ended up being an All-Star. But that season, because he missed all those games early in the year, he doesn't make the All-Star team. Also, probably it was a bad look for him. But Kent Benson, the guy the Bucks drafted, the Bucks' second ever first overall pick, is the reason Kareem does not have a perfect All-Star resume.
Way to go, Bucks! What a solid front office. I mean, got gifted one of the greatest players ever, one of the five greatest players ever. Put him wherever you want, and you decide to ruin it almost immediately, as soon as you can. Probably why he wanted out too, I imagine.
No, he was on the Lakers already.
Oh, okay.
That was post Lakers.
I was about to say, okay.
Yeah, no, he had one title.
That makes
way
more sense.
Yeah. All but right. Still, never. But it's still but a funny still. Thing. There are two number one picks collide, literally.
Sounds good to me.
1 through 5, what do you think for Kent Benson's face ruining Kareem's 20 straight?
When I thought they were on the same team, it was a 6.
Oh, wow.
When I thought they were on the same team, it was a 6.5. Well, you know, I'll say 4. It's a 4. Anytime somebody gets socked, this might end up in the, you know, best league punches. Sometimes we bust a list out. So if we do best punches, we could throw a little blurb. We could get a little Kermit Washington. We could throw him in there. You know, we could start talking Charles and Shaq.
Washington.
You know what I'm saying? We could get deep.
Was it Roger Bell who took 2 swings at Kobe but missed?
Yep.
Yes. But took some real ones.
Yeah.
He went for it. Credit
to
him. He did go for it. But who, what's his face, actually hit him? Knicks. Not Charlie Ward. The other one.
I'm not going to be helpful
The other guard that they had at the same time. And I'm pretty sure it was not Charlie Ward. Right, like New York Knicks 2000s roster.
Live Google.
Chris Childs.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Childs does punch Kobe in the mouth.
He
shouts out
to
Chris Childs. Something. He hit him with one. He hit him with a clean one.
Yeah.
He did. Okay, so this is my last one here. I don't know about you, Ty. This is December 6th is a special day for Milwaukee. It is Giannis's birthday. December 6th. He was born December 6th, 1994. And of course, December 6th, 2020 was a very interesting birthday for Giannis. So he was yet to sign the Supermax extension at this time that he was offered. This was in that lull where it's like, is he going to sign it? Are the Bucks going to have to trade him?
Scary hours.
Real scary hours. It was not great. It's like, oh no, he was in Greece. That's why he's not signed it. Oh wait, he's back. He still hasn't signed it. What's going on? Oh no, they're practicing and he still hasn't signed it. What is going on? So December 6th, 2020. Yeah. They celebrate his birthday. Teammates Chris Middleton and Pat Connaughton decide to get him a great gift. And that is a bunch of pens.
Did they get him 26 for the year? Was that it? Yeah.
Yes. 26 pens were at his locker. No reason at all. Definitely not for signing a contract. That's what pens they wanted him to use. So it was just a moment of like, oh God, his teammates really need him to do it as well. And it's just like, they're pushing him to do it, like inside the locker room. Like they're also making this information public. Like, is this could either blow up massively and just lead to everything falling apart, or it could be a very wholesome moment. And less than a week later he signed it.
I believe December 12th. Yeah.
So it all worked out at the end, but the pens waiting in Giannis's locker room were just a fantastic. It was a fantastic moment. We still have yet to know if he used one of those pens to actually sign the contract. That is one bit of information that would need to be researched, because that would take that moment over the top for me.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. I would also like to know the brand. Was it one of those Uniball pens?
I believe they were big.
Was it a gel pen, straight Bics?
I think they were big pens.
Those hard navy blue ones with the gold, like the ones that they have on the chain at the bank?
Mm-hmm.
What type of pens are we dealing with? You know, I do have questions.
I mean, Pat Connaughton had already signed his new contract. Chris Middleton is already on his new contract. Like they can afford the high quality pens.
I'm not being able to find what kind of pens they were, unfortunately.
Could they be used for calligraphy? Was it one of those old school ones you could do like old English with?
That'd be nice.
I do have questions. I'm going to give it a 4 because it's 26 pins, 6 minus 2 is 4. 4.
Numerology. All right, last one. This is more of a general. This is probably the least Bucksy one, but they don't win the title if not for this. So the game 7 against Brooklyn, KD hits an incredible fadeaway shot to force overtime that initially looked like it was going to end the game. Nets win.
Pinky toe. The old toe.
And I think what pushes it over the top, I think people are more aware of this. I won't go as deep, but KD, it was like literally one shoe size away. There's interviews with KD from years past where he literally wears a size bigger than the one that actually fits him most correctly because he finds hooping in them more comfortable. He might wear extra socks or something like that. But yeah, if he wore the more typical size, then that's probably win that game and everything is so much different. He was more over the line than I remember. But still, the fact that it was so close and he does wear a size bigger, what a wild thing for – I mean, is Bud still the coach? Did the Bucks trade some of their star players? Who knows?
A lot of things change.
Yeah.
A lot of things change. Bradley Beal doesn't get COVID at the Olympics.
Mm.
So many things could be different if the Nets actually win that game. KD is a man tortured by his own decisions, which I do find very relatable. Also a DC guy, so it's always love.
Relatable I've ever felt with an NBA player.
Yeah, he just unknowingly was like, this right now, this is the correct decision. And every time he is met with grief. And I have never loved and hated a man and then loved again a man more.
And this I invested
so much in Oklahoma City. Being that he was our guy, our DC champion, I was like, hell yeah, dude, don't ever play for the Wizards. Stay away from here. We want you to go succeed, thrive, man. And he was. And then when he beat the Spurs, when they beat the Spurs, I was like, oh my God. Kevin Durant is actually the dude. This isn't a drill anymore. And it all fell apart. It all fell apart.
And you don't support the Warriors titles?
I mean, I do. I know why he did it. He did it because he had to beat LeBron. He was just like, all right, I could keep doing this, but this team isn't going to beat LeBron. I can go with them. I'll definitely beat LeBron. I don't think he might not have realized he was going to be the best player on the team. It's also it is a flex that he made that he was like, all right, if I'm coming, fuck whatever you're doing, Steph. This is my team. The hell with that. And then he was the best player.
I know. I mean, and he showed up. He showed up.
He absolutely showed up and he did it. And everybody is pissed. Nobody cares. Nobody can actually see how crazy that is. They beat him. He shouldn't even be able to say that walking into that locker room. And he went out there and took the team from the team that beat him.
When you look at it that way, it does feel more impressive.
Draymond is calling him a bitch in the locker room and then getting benched for weeks. It's like, dude, I don't know.
If he did that like the previous year, he would have been lauded as like a hero. But now he's getting benched now. It's KD's team now.
Now it's KD's team. You can't even, don't even speak to me. Keep your hands in your pocket.
And now he's just made the full. I feel like everyone's just back on KD. They love him now, and it's just like it's a redemption arc.
Which is it's just that just speaks to the insanity of us and narratives and all that extra stuff that ESPN gave us. Because it's like it's not like he's a different dude.
No, he has been the same guy all along. I feel like that is very obvious. Same guy
the whole time.
KD, when you see KD in the middle of a lot of tweets, I don't like it's not as exciting as watching him like drill insane shots in the finals or whatever series, but it's close. Like when you see KD is really tweeting, when you said, oh my bad, I accidentally went and liked all your girls' pictures, sorry about that. Like that guy is an MVP on court and on Twitter.
Yeah,
when
he's up
at like 5 a.m. Tokyo time, just clowning guys on
you can't get enough.
Yeah, man. Come on, dude. And he carried us in the Olympics. Yep. And he tried to come back with a fucking a torn Achilles and played good, played really good in that game.
He was unstoppable. He put a fear in me that I have never felt before as a follower of the Bucks. Just I've never felt as I felt watching KD play against my team.
Come on, man. The dude he's one of the best ever. And I mean, when he went, I was hurt. I was beside myself because I love that team so much. And that's all that was, but that's just fan stuff. He knew what he had to do, man. He chose power over peace. It's like Akuma in Street Fighter.
KD's shoe size 1 out of 5 for NBA Storytime pitches.
I'm going to say a 4, but it should be a 3 sized up.
And it's funny. And it's funny because he's also like in the past been like, oh yeah, I'm not 7 foot. No.
Oh yeah. His great he's shorter,
but he wants bigger feet. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, man. Just the tortured life of a champion.
poor KD. All right, let's talk about NBA story time here. Would just love to hear, when someone asks you, like, oh, what is this project? Like, what are your thoughts on it? Why was this one that you, were interested in hosting? And what's the experience been like for you working on this so far?
NBA Storytime is a short form narrative podcast. I didn't know what that was until I went on somebody else's show and they said it. And I was like, oh, yeah. That's what we're doing. Absolutely. Show is. And then, we tack on an interview with a guest about it afterwards. Shouts out to Peter Moses for bringing me on the project. Shout out to Harry Swartout for writing. a lot of the project. My guy Dan Hartigan and me kind of finished up. You know, we was like the we were like the underlings on the writing staff. Shouts out to both of the ladies over at Spinsters. Haley O'Shaughnessy wrote one, was a guest on one. Jordan Liggins was my favorite guest so far, with the exception of Angel McCautry, because that's like not even speaking to a human. Like I spoke to a number one pick. Like, yeah, that's like doesn't even, that's like a number that's on its own list.
Yeah.
But in the list of regular, like human civilians, Jordan really came through big for me. And, you know, Peter just hit me up and was like, hey, we're doing this. You want to host it? And I was like, hell yeah. I mean, I like that I'm talking about sports. And they're just letting me talk about basketball, and I'm learning, and I'm becoming a better reader. I'm reading on a 11th grade level right now, and it just feels good. And it's a good listen, man. It's quick. Just download it and get to it, man. Just come on, man. You can run five of them bitches on the way to work. It's fine.
It's fantastic. It really is. It's really well put together. Really well done. You mentioned that you've been doing a lot of researching, a lot of learning. What's been your favorite bit of information that you've uncovered while working on any of the episodes?
Favorite bit of info that I uncovered? Well, it's not even so much info, just the realization that a conspiracy theory that I developed for fun, just for goofing off, slowly, as I'm doing research on my pretend funny conspiracy theory that I never actually believed was true, I just started the pieces was like, oh shit, it might actually be true. We have an episode coming out theorizing that the NBA in the 90s was being led by Wiccans.
Oh.
You know what I mean? We think dude witches had a lot to do with the rebrand of the NBA and everybody switching to big animals on their jerseys. And two of the biggest figures in that the Wicca religion are the sun and the buck, a deer.
Okay.
And for this year, for the Suns and the Bucks to end up in the finals, as I am writing a funny pretend story about witches controlling the NBA was incredible. And I'm very thankful to Adam Silver for making it happen.
Is Adam Silver a witch?
100%.
Wiccan.
He's a Wiccan. Wiccan. You can Wiccan, say witch if you're, look, because if you're not really in, you know, we understand it for those who aren't really in. You might say witch.
That's my bad. I can't wait for that one. I think it's tomorrow. So every Wednesday they drop, right?
Is that
going to be the one that's out? All people listening to this Wednesday morning or
this Wednesday tomorrow? No, unfortunately, no. I don't even know. I've honestly, okay. So they use Microsoft Teams over there. And then I kind of got locked out of my Teams account. I'm just not really. So I actually don't know what's coming out next, but it's going to be good.
That must be a fun little surprise. Wake up. Oh, that one. I like that one. That's good.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh.
One that's been released and that's not been released yet, but do you, I know this might be like picking kids or whatever, but do you have a favorite episode, for any reason? For me, not my favorite episode maybe, but my favorite episode title, For Whom the Taco Bell Tolls, is like some genius level. That's so good. But yeah. I don't know if it's my favorite episode.
My favorite episode, probably this Northern Knights one. Like getting to speak to Angel McCautry was insane. And like, there are funnier post-game interviews, but just getting to actually successfully crack a joke with Angel McCautry and she went with me, it was like, all right, this is awesome. And that story was my favorite story.
Yeah.
Honorable mention to, which is the one I hope is coming out next. Top five NBA sitcom cameos.
Oh, nice.
With David Bory on the track. That's also going to be a really good one coming out soon, too.
Okay, I have to ask, is the Pacers being in Parks and Rec mentioned in that.
Pacers being in Parks and Rec did not make it. Big ups to Deadless Shrimp. He did not make it, unfortunately.
Pacers aren't the best Parks and Rec cameo. Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh, who plays clarinet, I think would edge them out by a little bit.
And there, and I mean, some of the ones that were picked are debatable, you know? But I had to let them rock because the sitcom was so big.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah, that makes sense.
Cheers, Full House.
I think Simpsons has... I think
Simpsons
some guys
had to have somebody, Simpsons. But we didn't even... We didn't do any cartoons. Okay, all live action.
That makes sense.
But that could have been in there. There's some episodes of the Jamie Foxx show that probably should have been in there. There's a lot of ones we missed. I'm not going to act like... we. Hopefully... they'll approve a part two.
Yeah, there we go. Let's put pressure on if you want part two. This one wouldn't count, but I always love that there's Bucks gear and the Bucks games are in a couple episode plots in that 70s show. The priest from that 70s show is a huge Bucks fan. Red,
don't mind that.
He and Red start going to games, but I don't think they ever got any players. Obviously,
I can't
not.
Say I've watched that 70s show.
It's solid.
It's solid, dude. It was definitely solid for the time.
Yeah, it's like if it's on, it's a good watch. I don't know if I would seek it out though.
I'm sure half the episodes are like problematic now or whatever.
Yeah, I can't imagine a Fez storyline they did back then that holds up.
Fez. Yeah, we're gonna have some issues with Fez. No bullshit.
Yeah. One last one on the show. Is there any stories that, you know, either didn't end up being true or didn't have enough behind them or just didn't work out that, you know, maybe when you first started working on NBA story time, it was like, oh yeah, definitely that one. And it just didn't happen. But I mean, it sounds like, you know, the Wiccan one is happening. I'm not sure if there was any that you were like, we don't have enough to validate this, but did any not work out?
No, there's just some that just wasn't. It's like, oh, I guess this isn't funny. Like Gilbert bringing guns in the locker room. I'm a Wizards fan too, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, we're trying to work a wizard story in there, but it's like, oh yeah, that's just not fun.
Yeah.
And then Javaris Crittenden like is actually dead for real, if I'm not mistaken, the other guy involved. So it's kind of like, all right, well, let's just shut this one down. We're going to let that one go.
Yeah. That kind of reminds me in a dark way. The Bucks trade the rights to Dirk Nowitzki for Robert Tractor Trailer. But it's not fun to make fun of the Bucks about that anymore because Tractor Trailer unfortunately also passed away. So, you know,
Crittenden's alive.
Oh,
he is alive?
Yeah.
Is he locked up?
Yes.
What's up with him?
Okay.
Oh,
okay,
that's what it is. Okay. He killed a guy. I got it backwards. My bad. So he's alive. He made someone else not alive.
Yes.
Which is it still not funny?
Yeah. Yep.
In 2015, sentenced to 23 years. So,
exactly. I know they get podcasts in jail. So it's like, I don't even want, I'm good. You know, that's just kind of how that one went.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my goodness. But yeah, it's,
I love when I can see Rohan taps the end of his mic to mute it real aggressively. And it's just like locked in on a screen. Like
Javaris Crittenden's what?
I was like, oh my goodness. I missed that. But no, it was the opposite. He made
other way around that.
Yeah.
My bad. It's kind of late.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, that's something that I would not, if I were you, want to somehow make it to Javaris Crittenden.
Yeah. Not ideal for a comedy fun time.
No. Let's keep it light. Let's talk about the Northern Knights, a Eastern Pennsylvania-based league team that existed in Anchorage. I had never heard of this. I love the old league stories. I don't know if you ever read Loose Balls, like the stories of the old ABA. It's a book, but that's I love like digging into some of those weird-ass stories. Like you watch Semi-Pro for the first time, and you're like, oh, this is so outlandish. There's no way. And then you read the actual old ABA and these other league stories. It's like, oh, it was actually worse than that was in that movie. So yeah,
they actually
that was a
chilled
fun
out.
One.
They were like, we can't. They had to cut some stuff.
They were like, no one's going to believe this.
Nah, the 70s. The thing I've learned the most, honestly, about real stuff is that the 70s was insane.
Yeah.
They really let a lot of stuff fly back then.
Yeah. From what I've read, it was It was a time. There was a lot of stuff that
was an amazing time. If you have an antenna, you can see. Like, they still show like old reruns of like Family Feud. The host of Family Feud, the original host, would kiss every woman that came on the show.
Jesus Christ.
On the mouth, bro. I only saw one woman refuse. It was an old black lady. She was like, you better get your hands off me.
Wow.
Crazy. Dudes sniffing markers on TV, man. All type of shit, bro. It was crazy. The 70s show was crazy.
Story time.
Yo, game show story time. Now that's a hoo-hoo. Holler at me for the spin-off. Yeah,
get me in the writer's room for that one.
For sure.
No, but it's NBA story time is absolutely fantastic. I know, Ty, we were talking about this, just the format in terms of like, you know, recently it's been like you have the post game as well. And that's just, it's a really good, like, it's a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it's like a dessert after you get the actual.
It's like, if you subscribe, you just
subscribe. Go subscribe right
magically.
Now.
Yeah. Please do. When, if you hit the button, there'll be an episode for you fresh. And then you wake up Friday. Oh, we got a little bonus, a little baby out the oven. Whoa. It's like when they give you it's like when you get a smoothie and then they give you the runoff.
Oh.
Or you get a milkshake and they let you, it's like they leave the spoon.
I'll do a Wisconsin version of this for you. Yeah, yeah. It's you get the Bloody Mary and you get the chaser.
Precisely.
There you go. Except the chaser's 2 days later, which wouldn't be ideal for Bloody Marys, but it works really well for this. You get time to listen, think about it. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's a great way to digest it. Just get all of the information. It's absolutely fantastic. I think we're out of questions, Ty, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we've taken up enough of Jamel's time for now. So I think we can run the intro. But first, is there anything you want to plug besides NBA Storytime?
Yeah. I'll plug you guys. Keep listening to Eurostep. And
it's classy.
At Airbuds Pod for me and my bros. Just general, if you want to listen to me make fun of my two co-hosts for not believing in the Bucks.
There we go.
Go ahead and throw on some Airbuds. I yell at them often. And so that's just a little extra something for you. And let me shout out my guy, Stavros Halkias. He's got a show called Pod Don't Lie. The original Bucks fan with Giannis from the homeland. You know what I mean? Hit him up if you're ever on the island, Santorini. You need some fresh squid. He knows where to go. And that's all I know.
That's fantastic. Again, follow Jamel. If you don't already, it's amazing. Like, your outreach is incredible. But at Nonprofit Comment, Jamel Johnson, did I say comment? I meant to say comic.
Comic, yeah.
Yeah.
And shouts out to the Liqueur Hypnotic.
Oh, yeah.
Big up to Hypnotic. Hypnotic is allegedly sending me a free bar mat.
Did we get the likes?
I think we definitely.
Oh yeah, no, we crushed the likes. We crushed the likes. Yeah,
500 is too easy for Jamel.
Yeah, he's got 682 on that bad boy already.
Yeah, it's too easy. Make sure you check out NBA Storytime. Make sure you check out Jamel. Make sure you check out everything he does. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being on this episode of the Eurostep here on the Blue Wire and the Eurostep Podcast Network. Make sure you leave a 5-star review. Make sure you're subscribed on your podcast platform of choice. Check out all the content, including NBA Storytime, across the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Go Bucks. We will talk to you next time.